Now, this last week has seen India-Canada ties hit the lowest point they've ever been. The heightened tensions between both countries, and we're asking on the show tonight, what is the way forward in the India-Canada standoff? Now, on Monday, Canadian Prime Minister Justin Trudeau, who had just attended G20 in India, claimed in the House of Commons that there was an Indian hand in the killing of wanted Khalistani terrorist Hardeep Singh Nijjar. The charges were strongly refuted by India but have led to a series of fallouts, including both countries expelling diplomats, issuing advisories against travel, and India suspending visa services in Canada. Justin Trudeau repeated the charges in New York and then again yesterday when he said credible allegations had been shared with India weeks ago. India has refuted and said no evidence has been shared with us. Meanwhile, in India, action is being taken against various Khalistani elements and sympathizers. There was action today against Khalistani leader Panun, whose properties in Punjab have been seized, his house in Chandigarh, land that he had as well. He had recently created outrage in Canada when in a video, he asked Canadian Hindus to go back to India. Here's a report.
Between agents, the Canadian Prime Minister Justin Trudeau yet again reiterating his stand on sharing what he calls credible allegations with India on Hardeep Singh Nijjar's killers. Surprisingly, he's not used the word evidence so far.
Canada has shared the credible allegations that I talked about on Monday with India. We did that many weeks ago, and we are there to work constructively with India. And we hope that they engage with us so that we can get to the bottom of this.
No specific information has been shared by Canada on this case, either then or before or after.
Moreover, Trudeau's claims were rubbished by fellow Canadian, the Premier of British Columbia, David Eby.
The only briefings that I've been able to receive from CSIS are what are called open information briefings or open source briefings, which is information that's available to the public doing an internet search, which I find frustrating.
Meanwhile, in Punjab, the NIA has confiscated properties owned by Canada-based Khalistani terrorist Gurpatwant Singh Panun, who is the self-styled general counsel of the outlawed Sikhs for Justice, and has been asking Hindus in Canada to go back to India. According to the NIA, he has been promoting and commissioning terror activities and spreading fear and hate in Punjab through threats. Properties confiscated today include about 5 acres of agricultural land near Amritsar and part of a house in Chandigarh's Sector 15. Meanwhile, former Pentagon official Michael Rubin slammed U.S. Secretary of State Antony Blinken's comments on Trudeau's allegations against India on the killing of Khalistani terrorist Hardeep Singh Nijjar.
Let's not fool ourselves. Hardeep Singh Nijjar was not simply a plumber, any more than Osama bin Laden was a construction engineer. He had blood on his hands through multiple attacks. I suspect that the United States doesn't want to be pinned in the corner to choose between two friends, but if we have to choose between two friends, increasingly we're going to choose India on this matter, simply because Nijjar was a terrorist.
The India-Canada relations have nosedived since this entire controversy broke out over the killing of Khalistani terrorist Nijjar. And as India tightens its noose on those affiliated with terror outfits, it is to be seen whether Canada will follow suit. Bureau Report, NDTV. So what now in this diplomatic row and standoff that we're seeing? To talk more about this, we're joined by Shashank, former Foreign Secretary, Ashok Sajjanher, former diplomat, and Shankar Iyer, political economy analyst and author. Thank you so much all for joining us. And Mr. Shashank, first to you. Now Justin Trudeau has thrice made these claims, which he calls credible allegations, which is also a very strange way of, you know, putting it. Not evidence, credible allegations. He claims it was sent to India weeks ago. India has refuted this. What do you see as the way forward? And have you felt there's any sort of softening of stand by the Canadian Prime Minister?
Well, I think Canada has taken the lead in taking some very wrong diplomatic action, because they have certain international responsibilities about curbing terrorism. They're not talking about that. They are members of G7, they are members of NATO, and they have been having out-of-area operations for NATO, and trying to catch people whom they call terrorists all over the world. In fact, they have tried to expand the area of NATO to Asia, and they are trying to get NATO plus in Asia. They have perhaps spoken to India also. So perhaps they want to get India also in something similar out of area operation policy. Now, what happens is that when India sends them dossier after dossier on terrorists, or when even the Canadian courts decide that there are terrorists in Canada who have led to a plane bombing, they don't take any action. And this has been going on for 40 years. And suddenly they find out secretly that Indian diplomats are doing all these kind of things, and they are involved in the murder of some very well-known, well-protected Sikh gentleman living in Canada. Whereas India has given a lot of dossiers about him, and his cases for Canadian nationality were rejected several times because of his past antecedents. So I think what Canada has been doing is really they talk of their terrorists and other countries' terrorists. They regard India in some category somewhere close to China, maybe close to Russia. And they have not changed that. They still feel that India is a country which needs to be kept under control, which they need to have some kind of people living in Canada who have relatives, who have properties, etc. in India, and they should keep them on tenterhooks. I think India is no longer willing to accept that. And we were expecting that perhaps their Five Eyes brothers would also tell them that this is not done. I mean, if you have to share any information with the Indians, you talk to them through diplomatic channels. And you must also satisfy them to some extent so that their respect for their democracy, their constitution, their obligations on curbing terrorism are maintained. Now, we have the United Nations Security Council. They have several resolutions. They have several committees on counterterrorism. Canada is not bothered about any of these things. And in fact, they are just saying that they have received information from their Five Eyes colleagues. And that is what they are trying to do. So I think these things will not be accepted by India. I'm quite sure that any government in India clearly not accepted.
And we know we've taken such strong actions as well in terms of suspending visas there in Canada, for those wanting to visit India and putting out travel advisory. But Ambassador Sajjanpour, what is the way forward now? And so far, and what everyone is pointing out, that Justin Trudeau has not provided that evidence. And what do you also think of the U.S.'s role so far? Antony Blinken is the, most senior person in the U.S. to have spoken on this and has said that India should help with the investigations.
Yeah, thank you very much, Gargi. So, coming to the second question first, in terms of what the role of the United States is, I think the United States has been by and large quite guarded and cautious in responding because, as has been said, both India and Canada are friends. One is an ally. Canada is an ally, G7 member, NATO member, etc. And India, of course, the partnership and engagement has been growing. So I don't think they want to offend either of the two. And the message that has gone from the United States to Canada is complete the investigation quickly. I think the whole world, and not only people in Canada and India, but the whole world finds it very strange that 3 months after, there is the investigation is still going on. There is no charge sheet. There is no arrest. And still Canadian Prime Minister goes to the parliament and announces this. And I agree with you when you say credible allegations. This is a contradiction in terms, I find. Because how can allegations, because there might be 10 allegations, how can they be credible? There is not a shred of evidence that has been provided. And I think what India has stated, and this brings me to the first part of your question. India has stated that the actions by Canada are motivated and absurd. What the statements. So I'll leave the absurd part out of it. This is the characterization. But as far as motivated is concerned, it is obviously because of the political compulsions that Canada is, that Justin Trudeau himself is facing, because his party is in need of support of this Khalistani party led by the Khalistani supporter, that is Jagmeet Singh Dhaliwal, and he needs his support. So he finds himself really, really cornered. And that is why, you know, he is doing all the bidding that he is told to do, and maybe not using his better judgment. Going forward, you know, it is Canada which has stirred this hornet's nest. This is the way, the irresponsible way that they have gone about it. There were so many other channels that were available. You know, it was not necessary for him on the 19th to go straight to the parliament and to make this announcement in full view of the whole world. I think there are other channels.
And this came shortly after G20, you know, when the Prime Minister Modi had, you know, some words with him regarding this issue that has been, as you said, for decades. Both of you have been talking about how for decades it's been a problem for India. Indira Gandhi, too, had reached out to, in fact, Justin Trudeau's father about Khalistani, you know, sympathizers there in Canada. The Kanishk bombing happened from there. So it's a long-standing issue. And yes, the Prime Minister did have a conversation with Justin Trudeau when he was here for G20. And just shortly after that, he goes and in the House of Commons makes these comments. Shankar Raya, the question we're asking is, what is the way forward now, given, you know, these very hard stands? At least India's taken this hard stand. Justin Trudeau reiterating, you know, thrice now he's made these comments about India's hand in the killing of the Khalistani terrorist.
I mean, the first thing we need to observe is that there is a fog of domestic politics masquerading as geopolitics here. I mean, there are compulsions that have created this crisis. Canadian security agency CSIS in 2018 listed five top threats for Canada. One was interference by China. The second, another was rising Sikh extremism or the Khalistani extremism. That happened, that report was released in 2018. As you said earlier, for 40 years, successive Indian prime ministers have raised the issue of inaction. So there has been a tendency to kick the can down the road. Here's a peculiar situation. A murder happens. For 3 months, investigations are on. They know where the car was parked. They know how it happened. But they don't know who did it. Or rather, they have failed to catch anyone. The second part is, while the life of a Canadian citizen in Canada has been pointed out, the value of the life of a Canadian citizen in Canada has been pointed out, how many people were killed in the Kanishka bombing? Aren't those Canadians, aren't those lives valuable? The Prime Minister of a country is assassinated by a group of people. 40 years later, a parade takes place in Canada where they sort of put up mock installation.
Like a display of the assassination, yes.
The assassination of Mrs. Gandhi. What part of freedom of expression does this fall under? I mean, these are things that have not been acted upon. The question that you asked, I'll come to in a bit. But Pierre Poilievre, the opposition leader, asked two questions, and I think those are the most relevant questions. The first question is, where is the credible evidence? What is the evidence based on which you have made this allegation? The second point he made, which is interesting, he said that this same government has spoken about foreign interference by Beijing, by the Chinese government. What has been the action on it? So the first thing that needs to happen, the fog needs to lift. I think both sides, they want to back off a little. There are too many statements, too many counter statements being made. This kind of issue normally is conducted behind veneer of diplomacy.
Right.
And I think this first rule has been broken. I think it is important for tempos to cool. I do think the diaspora anywhere should not be the collateral damage of the political compulsions of leaders.
Right, absolutely. And, you know, just last week we were discussing the fact that trade ties had been affected. And then this whole week we've seen a host of developments taking place. I'm out of time, but final word, Mr. Shashank, do you fear that this could become, you know, a West versus India situation, or as you've been pointing out, all of you, that the U.S. is, you know, treading very carefully in this face-off between India and Canada?
I think as far as Canada is concerned, they seem to have decided to take on India totally. As regards their 5i partners, I'm not so sure. So I think their agencies and their departments have different opinions. Their political setup has taken certain decisions. G20 is one of the results, the success of it. But there are people who are not very happy about it. They feel that India has been given too much and should be put in its proper place. So therefore, we have to wait and see as to what action will be taken by the West. India has withstood all the sanctions and all kinds of other things which have been raised against India by the Western countries. Canada is leading the march this time. And so we have to be careful because they have become the harboring place for all terrorists, drug runners, and even the, let's say, the Bangladeshis have told us that the killer of Sheikh Mujibur Rahman have been given sanctuary in Canada. So which means that they are really out on a limb. They want to do things against the Asian countries, against the developing countries. Well, and India is only one of the examples.
All right. Thank you so much all for joining us. Completely out of time, but we'll see what this week ahead is going to bring in terms of more developments on the India-Canada relationship. Thank you.